Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Focus on the vision. So what comes to mind when you think about Abraham, considered the father of at least three of the world's major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? What do you think about when you think of him? Strong, brave, faithful? Well, by the reading of our Hebrew Bible scriptures today, it appears that he was none of these, at least at first. You see, God gave Abram a vision. God came to Abram, not yet Abraham. And this is important. God came to an ordinary person, not yet fully formed in their faith, to bring a vision and a covenant promise of the great nation that was to come from Abram, the nation of Israel. And what does Abram do when the very God of the universe tells him what God will do through him? Abram immediately gives God a long list of reasons why Abram cannot possibly fulfill God's vision. As if God's vision, purpose, and creation was dependent upon Abram's human limitations. Now I actually find verses like these quite comforting. You see, we often think that we can't possibly be like those great people of faith in our Holy Scriptures. We think we can't do what God wants for us because we're just not that strong, not that brave, not that faithful. Then we see that we are actually quite like the Abrams and Davids and others in the Bible. We are fallible, imperfect, and very, very human. We see the magnitude of God's creation, and then we think it's up to us and our limitations as to whether God can accomplish God's plan and vision. Then, even while we are claiming God's plan can't possibly happen because we aren't capable, God takes us out. God takes us outside and says, "Look, look toward heaven and count the stars." Daryl M. Trimmeview echoes H. Richard Niemeyer when he writes, "The first response of humanity toward God is that of distrust." Think about it. Although God is good to us, we do not trust God. Like most of us, Abram knows that he's not all that good or all that deserving. Accordingly, it is difficult for him to believe and accept that he might be blessed beyond measure. Yet miraculously, God gives Abram blessings. But rather than being grateful, Abram is uncooperative. Think about it. And yet God is still God. But what makes us uncooperative with God? What causes us to focus on our own humanness instead of the vastness of God? What obstacles or limitations of our own sight causes us to lose focus on God's vision? So, if you've ever taken that drive from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, you know there's an element of faith required in this desert journey. There are more than one stretch of this road that seem to go right into oblivion. Miles and miles of straight road down a big valley and then up, up, up a steep incline. In the optical illusion that is created, it seems as if there's nothing but air, the edge of the earth beyond the top of that hill. What if you stopped because all you saw was the hill and your mind says, no, you're going to fall off the edge. What if all we saw was the hill and couldn't keep focused on the destination, the vision of what's ahead and what was on the other side? Perhaps you'd want to turn around and go back to Barstow. At least you know there's food and water there. So for Danny and I, when we take that road, it's the promise of family, of our kids, of our grandchildren who live in Vegas. They all lie just beyond our sight in those deep valleys. But it is the vision of community and many loved ones that keep us on this road. Otherwise, the temptation just to go back to the outlet malls and the roads and the food stops that we saw along the way would just be too great. So our Hebrew scripture takes place in one of those valleys, when Israel is not even a nation on this earth. And our gospel lesson comes in another valley. After the nation of Israel has grown to be a great nation, has grown powerful, and then defeated, and then put in exile, and then slowly brought back to Jerusalem, only to now be occupied by foreigners. In our gospel story, the rulers in place are the Herodians. They are puppets of the Roman occupiers. But this has caused many in Israel who wanted to retain some power, whether politically or religiously, to align with the chosen Roman rulers instead of their faithfulness in their God. Jerusalem and its leaders, both secular and sacred, lost track of the vision that God gave to Abram. They focused on the obstacles of the laws and the rules of occupation and decided that they needed to work and play within them. No longer did they focus on the vision God gave to Abraham. Instead, they focused on working the system. And Jesus calls them out on it, acknowledging that even the cry for Jesus to leave, to save his own life, was given by those sent to spy on him from Herod Antipas. But instead of being angry with these spies, Jesus mourns. He mourns and longs for Jerusalem to stop working against God, to stop focusing on power, wealth, and status, and to focus once again on the goodness and mercy of God. He longs to gather them under his wings and to comfort them, to tell them to stop their struggle and to let God work in their lives. But in their short-sightedness, they can only see what they can gain now and do now and be now. The obstacle of earthly power has caused them to lose focus on the kingdom of God right in their midst. But you know what? Today, the church universal is not that much different. Will we have enough? Will we have enough space, enough people, enough money to fill the vision of what the church is by its very definition, the body of Christ? And if it's up to us, well, we have a very long list of why it won't ever get done. Yet, God is still calling for our participation. God doesn't call for our perfection, just our participation. God has already handled the perfection part, and it's coming, for we are going on to perfection. God has handled that for us. But if we participate in the journey, no matter what life throws at us, to remind us of our human imperfection, if we but participate in the journey, God has blessings beyond measure for the church. And when this imperfect life gets in our way, how will we together, with these threads woven through us, how will we see through to stay focused on God's vision for us? Yeah, the obstacles and hills of life often blind us to what can just be ahead if we but stay on the road. How do we see through these obstacles to the vision God wants us to live into? So, you know, I've been bringing props. I brought some props again today. So I found these books. I want to show you something. This book talks about visioning. It says visioning. We had a meeting 2011, 2013, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, February 3rd. I know since I've been here, we've had a meeting in December of 2019. Again in 2020, again in 2021, reset. We did reset all throughout 2020 and 2021, visioning. What is God's vision for us? But wait, in the words of Billy Mays, but wait, there's more. Pulled a charge conference from 2010. There's a pastor transition. Well, we have to put that vision on hold because we are transitioning. Well, there's going to be a pastor transition too. Are we going to put God's vision on hold? I saw it again from the transition before that and the transition before that. I went back 1971. We are trying to get a youth group together and find space for them. As if there were none. There was stuff in the space. Karen has pulled some things for me that I viewed that go back to 1946, the year after the war. And we visioned closing our community soup kitchens, closing our ministries, closing our basketball gym, and creating a very, very beautiful sanctuary to welcome all. And then we didn't know why all didn't come when we opened up. So we brought in a consultant. Well, can't find the door. There's awkwardness to the ways you get in. People can't figure out how to enter. And we tabled it. And we said, well, we can't fix this. And we began to focus on a vision of having high church 1 hour on Sunday, which there's nothing wrong with that. And for decades, that is all we focused on, was 1 hour on Sunday. And there's lists, really good reasons. We'd spent all our money, for one, on the sanctuary. Really good reasons as to why we couldn't do this. The neighborhood was changing. We can't have a soup kitchen. The long list of reasons as to why God's vision had to be put on hold, had to wait here at Belmont Heights. Just in the last 15 years alone, we have been in an intentional visioning process. And that book is filled with list upon list upon list of why we can't do it. How can we, and not just here at Belmont Heights, but how can we, the Methodist Church, well, we have to wait till General Conference, and General Conference has been postponed, then we can do ministry. We have to wait till we have agreement, and then we can do ministry. How can we let God show us what God can do instead of listing our own imperfections? Life happens, you see. Life happens, but life also moves forward. We make mistakes in our decisions. All of us do. Churches are no exception. But how do we move forward from those? Because if you see life, if life doesn't move forward, if it doesn't change, if it doesn't adapt, do you know what the alternative is? Death. Because you see, there's no such thing as stagnant life on this earth. We are either living and growing or we are dying. Because we are human and we are limited. Will we be short-sighted by this human life and keep our focus on that? Or will we keep our focus on the vision of the eternal kingdom of God, where life is no end, always continuously expanding, proven by science that the universe, God, is expanding? So I ask you, what vision has God cast for your life? What vision has God cast for our lives in our community? In the kingdom, that woven thread with one another. I'm sure we all have our lists. Danny can tell you, I'm the queen of lists. We all have our lists ready for God to show God why we can't possibly be the one to fulfill this mission, this vision right now. But will we allow God to take us, even us, outside and look to the heavens and see the vision God has for us is not limited by our humanness, but only by the limits of God. And our God is without limits. Amen. As the music team comes forward, what do you say? What is God calling you to do? Are we going outside with one another and seeing what's possible?